Gemara has two interpretations on the opening pasuk, Eilam Mishpatim Asher Pasim Lifnehem, where the Lifnehem refers to the Klal Yisrael, that all the dinim apply equally to men and to women, Hishva Kosev Ish Aliyish, Chol Dinim Shabbat Torah, or Lifnehem refers to the Dayanim, that the laws, Eilam Mishpatim Shetasim Lifnehem, the dinim should be, a dintara should be brought, any case, all cases should be brought to the Dayanim, Dafke to the Dayanim who have smicha. The word Lifnehem is alluding to Elohim, which appears later in the Sedra, and Elohim is Loshon Chol. In this context, refers to a Dayan who has smicha. The Tosfos points out this problem, that the Gemara has a stira in the way they're darshaning. One Gemara is in the end of Gittin, and the Gemara says, Lifnehem, Lo Lifnehem had Yoites, Lifnehem referring to Elohim. The other Gemara is in Baba Kama, and Daf Tezvav, Ish Vakos, Ish Aliyish. The institution of smicha has been long lost. Smicha has to be conferred ish mipi ish ad Moshe Rabbeinu and has to be in Eretz Yisrael. So you can only give smicha in Eretz Yisrael. And the Nochrim had so many gzeiros against the Rabbanim, Zman HaTanoim, that they discontinued the smicha a long time ago. What we have today is an imitation smicha. It's in fulfillment of the din de Rabbanim that appears in the Gemara in the first parak in Sanhedrin. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rebbe, made a takana talmud al yore elam kein natal rishus mei rabba, unless he has what we call smicha heter hara. Yiddish they call instead of calling smicha, they can, in Europe they used to call heter hara, means he has permission to paskin heter hara. Some rishonim interpret heter hara, he has permission to teach, that the teacher in the yeshiva also need a heter hara. Maybe you can't explain yourself well, maybe you mispronounce words, and maybe the talmidim will always walk away with a mistaken impression as far as what the dinim are. That's what prompted the original takana. The Gemara says in the first parak in Sanhedrin that there was a Talmud who was had a poor diction. He was pronouncing the words poorly. May bitzim, not machshol kabotumah. So the Balabatim thought that he said may bitzim, may bitzim, may bitzoim. They didn't know what the word was that he said. So that's when Rebbe made this takana talmud al yorim came out of the shus may rabbi. So some rishonim learn al yorim shouldn't be a rebbe in yeshiva. Or ra'ah means to teach. And others that means to pass. Anyway, but the smicha practice that we have today is really only an imitation smicha. It's not the real McCoy. And it's only in fulfillment of that takonas rebbe. The talmud al yorim came out of the shus may rabbi. How do you ever have a right today to be done any dine Torah if the din requires that you have to have shloshes smuchim? So the Gemara says that the hadyotas, the rabbanim that we have today who don't have smicha, they're really hadyotas, they have the right to function as if they were shluchim, shlichusayu, koavdina. We in Bavel act as shluchim of those who live in Eretz Yisrael who have the smicha. And the Rishonim asked, but Bizman said, there's nobody alive anymore in Eretz Yisrael that has any smicha. Nobody has any smicha. So how can he say shlichusayu? So the Rishonim coined the term and anshlichasai de kamoi kravdina. We are the shluchim of those who had smicha many generations ago. So obviously it doesn't refer to real shlichas. It can't mean shlichas if the mishalech died, so the shlichas doesn't continue. How can you have, can a kohen send a zar to duchen for him? Can a kohen send a zar to be makav karbonis for him in the Beis Hamikdash, mitam shlichas? What do you mean the shluchim in Eretz Yisrael appointed the Rabbanim Chutz Lorets as their shluchim, that they should paskin dinei Torah for them? If they're not qualified, if they don't have smicha, so how can they serve as a shlichus? Obviously it's not to be taken literally in the sense of shlichus. It doesn't really mean shlichus. It's not a din of shluchus shlomim k'masa. It has to be like the Ran in the beginning of Sanhedrin quotes the Ramban, that shlichus sayu is that the Rabbanim with the smicha mechalan ekovet, that the din that a non-somuch is not allowed to participate in the din Torah, Eilam Mishpatam Shetasim Lifneim, Lifneim, Lo Lifnei Adyaitas, that's Mishum Kvoidam Shel HaSmuchim. You're not allowed to be Masigvul on the Smuchim. The right to Paskin should be reserved for the people who have Smuchim. So if the Mechal on the Kovit, so there's no Issa. There's no Issa. The Shaila is, if the Mechal on the Kovit, there's no Issa. There are two Dinim, the Ramban says. There's a Din, there's an Issa, Lifneim, Lo Lifnei Adyaitas is an Issa, that you're not allowed to go to a non-somuch for a Din Torah. So the Merchel on the Kovitz says there's no Issa, but there's also a din that smicha is required for the composition of the bezin. That you don't have smuchim, so it's not a kosher bezin, it's a psul. So how does Shlichosayu take away the psul? That's a big machlokes in Rishani, whether Shlichusai was a din deraisa or a din derabbanan. The Rashba writes that he thinks Shlichusai is only derabbanan. It's based on Hefkebez and Hefke. There's no explanation on the level of deraisa how a Bezdom Shlosha had Yeta is kosher. And this Rashba is in disagreement with the Tosfos. Tosfos has a famous kasha and a few mesichtas. How can you be mekabel ger in bizman hazeh? The Gemara says that in order to be mekabel ger, you have to have a bezdin shel shloisha. And the Gemara says in another place that a bezdin shel shloisha has to be shloisha smuchim. So bizman hazeh that nobody has any smuchim, so there doesn't exist any bezdin shloisha smuchim. So how is there an institution of kabbalah ger? The Tosfos says that we're mekabel gerim is manas that based on shlichus tayv. The Tosfos never said that all the gerim in the world are only gerim in the rabbanon. And I've heard it's still goyim and they're only gerim in the rabbanon. We had a funny Tosfos in Ksubas and Daf Yud Aleph. Now Tosfos had one suggestion that a ger kot matbila mosa das bezin is only in the rabbanon. That is based on zoch liyad and shleib b'fanim and zechiyah for katan. Zechiyah bad katan is only in the rabbanon. That was their girsa in the Gemara and ezel neshech. Nehi the shlichus leislei. Zchiyah mid rabbanim mi'o isle, that zochin on behalf of a katan is only mid rabbanim. So Tosfos had one strange opinion that ger katan is only a ger mid rabbanim. No, the pashto says that, but a ger gadol, no. Tosfos says that all the gerim in the world are only gerim mid rabbanim. That's wild. So the pashto in Tosfos says that's the first nesivus on Tosfos Mishpat Siman Aleph of Katan Aleph. The very first comment that nesivus makes is that according to Tosfos, Shlichusai was their rice. And the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba writes that he thinks Shlichusai is only the Rabban.
According to
the Rashba,
all the
games are the Rabban? No, the Rashba is bothered with Tosfos Kasha. So he says the Gemara never says that you need Shlosha Smuchin for a gear. It says you need a Beznam Shlosha. Shlosha Hedyaitis is good, like by Chalitza. The Gemara says beferish that shlosha hadyaitis is good for the beznam chalitza. So he thinks the same is true regarding ger. That's the question: why should that be so? When do you need shlosha smuchim, and when is a good shlosha hadyaitis? So that's another discussion. What's the halacha of smicha? What kind of a din is smicha? It's a question. There's a beautiful tshuva in Avdei Nezer in Yerudei Chelek Sheni. He has a discussion. A rabbi passed away, and in Europe the minhag used to be that he used to appoint a rabbi's son to take over the Rabbanus, if the son was a Talmud Chacham. So here there was a son and a son-in-law. And the son-in-law was more Merutza L'Kohol than the son. The son would have also been Merutza L'Kohol, but the Balabatim liked the son-in-law better. So he has a long tshuva, which is broken up into six parts, whether the son or the son-in-law gets to Yarshin the Kisei HaRabbanus. So Shlomo HaMelech's throne had Sheish Mailos LaKisei, had six steps to walk up to the throne. So this tshuva is cool. All the other tshuvas don't have names. Siman Aleph, Siman Beis, and Gimel. But this one has a name. Sheish Mavas Lakisa. This tshuva has a number also. Shin Yud Beis. But then it is Shin Yud Beis. A long, very long, very long country. It's very long tshuva. So and he gives it a title. Sheish Mavas Lakisa. There are six issues that he has to be Mevara. So one of the very fascinating tshuva, with Abarbanels and Radaks and Psukim from the Rim, Ksuvim, and all over the place, and the Droshes Aran. Everything is very fascinating. So he discusses one issue: what's the difference, if any, between the Mishpat HaMelech and the Mishpat HaSanhedrin, the Mishpat HaDayonim? The role of the king is Melech B'Mishpat Yamid Eretz. The king always judged Mishpat HaSoam. It says throughout Tanakh, the role of the king is to judge the people. And the role of the Bezdin and Dinim Amunis is to judge the people. Is there any difference? He says there's a big difference. He quotes a Gemara in Brachas on Davov and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Minayin, how do you know that if you have a bezin of three who make a din Torah, that Shechina Shri b'nei, Shenemar Lakin Nitzal Badaskel. When you have a bezin of three, so there will be a Hashuas Hashchina. So the Gemara says there, Ma'u Detemon, one might have thought mistakenly that a din Torah is only Shlomo B'Alma, just in order to bring peace among the Balabatim, that they shouldn't be at each other's throats. So from Ashmal and the Pasuk know that the Din Torah brings Hashuas Hashchina into the world. Brings Hashuas Hashchina. From Ashmal on that Mishpat Nami Hainu Torah. That's what the Gemara says. So based on that Gemara, he suggests that one of the functions of the king is Lishpat Hasam, and the other function is Lilchum Mohammed Hashem, to wage battles. So the role of the king in judging the people is only Melech and Mishpat Yamin Eretz, just to keep law and order. It's not for the purpose of bringing the Shechina down in this world. That's why he points out that the king has no right to punish people on the Chal Shabbos or people who eat treifas. The king only has a right to judge the people in the Dinim Amidus, to keep law and order. But the role of the Beis Din in judging the people is to bring Malchus Hashem, the Gilui Malchus Hashem in this world. So that's what the Gemara says. Ma'u detema, one might have thought that the Beis Din HaTzvi is just Shlama Balma, just in order to bring peace. Kamash Malan, that's not the whole story. That's the function of the Mishpat of the Melech. But the Mishpat of the Beis Din is Elokim Nitzah Badaskel, to bring Malchus Shamayim into this world. And that's why the Beis Din has the responsibility to judge not only Bein Adam L'Chaveras, to judge people who are Mechalei Shabbos and who eat Treifas and so on. The two different role, two different purposes of what the Mishpat is all about. What does that mean? Elokim Nitzah Badaskel. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we usually don't learn like that Gemara. The Gemara has a pshat of the king needs about das kel. I would have thought that the role of the Beis Din in a din Torah is only shlomo b'alma, to keep peace. Kamash v'lo, no, the purpose of the Beis Din is to bring the Shechina into the world. That's not the way we usually learn. We usually understand that pasuk, the king needs about das kel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will assist the dayanim in a din Torah. That's how we usually learn pshat. What is that all about? So we usually learn pshat. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of his interpretation. He used to say that a human being can never really judge another human being. We're both human beings. I'm not on a higher level than you. So how can I judge another human being? So he said, that's why the Chazal keep on saying that in any case of Dini Mammon, it's a Dini Nefoshes, so the king needs a Bal Daskel. The Shechina is really paskening. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps the Dayanim that the Pesach on the other human being is really given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really given by the human beings because a boss of them can't judge another one. There's another kavana here which the Ramban brings out in his commentary on Chumash, and the Netziv has a whole essay about this in his introduction to his commentary on the Shiltis. He calls his commentary on the Shiltis Haimik Sholo. So the introduction that he wrote, he calls the Kidmas Ha'emek, the Hakdama to the Haimik Sholo. Now you look in the Biur HaNetziv on the Shiltas, he has three introductions. Why did he write three introductions? Doesn't make any sense. The answer is that in Europe, when he printed the three volumes separately, so he wrote an introduction before the first volume. Then when he printed the second volume, he wrote an introduction before the second volume, which is a hemshech of the first introduction. Then when he printed the third volume, it comes in three volumes, so he wrote a separate introduction, which is basically a hemshech of the second introduction. So then when Mosada Rav Kook reprinted the Rav Meir Bar Ilan, was the son of the Netziv, so when he gave authorization to Mosada Rav Kook, he was one of the organizers of Mosada Rav Kook, so when he gave them authorization to reprint his father's commentary on the Shiltas, they took all the three introductions, they put them all in the first volume. So it looks a little funny, three introductions to the same book. The answer is it was written in installments, it was written at three different times as a hemsha. But it's very very fascinating introduction. It's very well worth reading. It's really an introduction to the whole Torah Shabbal Peh. And a few years ago they printed it separately. The Hakdamas of the Netziv, a separate sefer, a separate volume, and it has all the and footnotes on the bottom to give you all the Mar Mekomis, because the Netziv was a fantastic baki, dripping with Bekiyas, unbelievable, dripping with Bekiyas. So he always quoted Tosefta's and Tesfos and Gemara's and Yerushalmi's, and it doesn't always tell you where he's quoting from. So they have it with footnotes where they give you all the references, all the marmakans. So he shows here. Rashi writes in the opening pasuk on Mishpatim that the Parsha Sisra ends with Din of building a mizbeach and mizbeach avonim tasali, with the laws of mizbeach, and Parsha Mishpatim starts with the laws of Sanhedrin. Lama nismucha Parshas dinim le Parshas mizbeach loymalach shetasim Sanhedrin. Eitzel HaMizbeach or Eitzel HaMikdosh, the two readings in Rashi. That's the halacha, that the Beis Din HaGadol, the Sanhedrin Gdola, has their office in the Lishkas HaGozes, in the Beis HaMikdosh. What is that all about? That the Sanhedrin HaGdola should meet in the Beis HaMikdosh? So Rashi doesn't explain. Rashi goes quoting from the Medrash Rabbah. So the Ramban explains that the Hashuras HaShchina should assist the Beis Din HaGadol in their deliberations, that they should not make a mistake. This idea, Lekim Nitzah Ba'adaskel, is not only for judging other human beings. That's a Rav Soloveitchik said, how can you judge another human being? So really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to judge the other person. But the Ramban says differently. The Bez Nagol usually didn't judge anybody. They just gave psukim. They sat and they learned and they passed Mishalas and Hilchos Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. But they needed divine assistance that they shouldn't paskin wrong. The psukim of the Rabbanim are binding only if they're correct. If the Rabbanim make a mistake, then the psak is not binding. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash Dvarim quotes from the Sifrei that it says on the pasuk, when you go to ask a shayla of the Bez Nagadol, whatever they paskin is binding. You're not allowed to sway from the psak of the Bez Nagadol, neither to the right nor to the left. So Rashi quotes from the Sifrei, so it's usually misunderstood to mean that the psak of the Bez Nagadol is binding even when it's in error. That's how Herman Wuk understood. Herman Wuk, the author of the Kane Mutiny, taught here in the Shiva College for 1 year. So he told the students that the theme of his book, the Kane Mutiny, is that the authority is binding even when it's an error. I think the Kane is the name of the ship, and there was a mutiny on the boat. So the captain of the ship had gazucked one way, and the sailors didn't listen to him. Because he was wrong, because he was nuts, he made a mistake. So he said the theme of the book, he was inspired by this Rashi, that authority is binding even when it's an error. So the student told him that that's not pshat in Rashi, that the authority is not binding when it's an error. It's a Beferish and Mishnah, the opening Mishnah in Harbius, that says if the Bez Nagadol all unanimously paskin one way, and one of the students know that they made a mistake, so he's not allowed to follow the Bez Nagadol. You're not permitted to follow if they made a mistake. I said, what's Taka Pshat in the Sifrei? So the Ramban is the first one who asks that Kasha. Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvah, the one who has an essay about this is the Malamed Lahoyl. In the end of the Malamed Lahoyl is a Shabbos HaTshuva Sefer by Rav David Tzvi Hafner, who's more famous for his work against the biblical criticism. So other people know him for that. He wrote works in German, to slug up all the biblical criticism on Vayikra. And in the world of Torah, he's known for his Shalos HaTshuvos. He wrote, he was the Rosh Yeshiva, he was the top Rosh Yeshiva in Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. And we don't have his Chidush Torah, but he was a Talmud of the Ksav Sefer, I think. He was a Hungarian, he learned in Hungary. And then he came to Berlin to teach in the Yeshiva. And we have this small collection of Shalos HaTshuvos that his son put together after he passed away. His son put together the Shalos HaTshuvos and he printed it. So there are three volumes, three halakim, all in one thin little volume. At the end of the third chelik of the Malamed Lahoyo, he has a couple of essays on miscellaneous topics. So one of the essays is on this discrepancy. Akin Rashi and Chumash quote from the Tanoim, Ali Minshu Smova, Smosha Yimin, if the opening Mishnah in Hoiriya says that if the Bez Nagadol paskin in error, the Psak is not binding. You're not allowed to listen to the Bez Nagadol. So he points out that the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvos is the first one to pose this kasha, and he quotes some other famous sources, Rishonim and early Achronim, who discussed the kasha. And basically what it boils down to is most of them all say pe'echa, the same answer. It means like the Ramban says, afilu nirim b'yeinecha yimin shu smol, if the layman thinks that the Rabbanim made a mistake. The layman always thinks that the Rabbanim made a mistake. If you don't know Shulchan Aruch, if you don't know the Gemara. I was telling over the story that we had that we found out that the food that they feed the calves, that they is basa b'chol of their eyes. So Rabbi Ginak said, hey, that's terrible, I have a suggestion. So he was talking quickly, so he told him they should take pork and cook it with milk. So the guy says, pork? Chaza? What do you mean? Pork is not safe. What do you mean? The guy says, Rabbi Ganak starts to explain. No, pork is the hem of tamei, so there's no din the rice of basa b'cholov, so it's only basa b'chol the rabbanon, so it's mutter b'anoa. But if you have star behema tahira, even though it's nevela, it's basa b'chol. Ah, a layman, you know, a goy, he's a goy. So before you explain it to him, so of course it's near meinecha. You mean she was small? It doesn't make any sense. So that's what the Ramban's girsa is. The Ramban thing, and even if that's not the girsa, that's what it means. I feel near me enecha. Now you mean she was small. They outright made a mistake. I feel near me enecha. You mean she was small. The layman thinks that the rabbis made a mistake, but he should assume that they didn't make a mistake. But what happens if you really know how to learn? You know that they made a mistake. So then you're not allowed to listen. How do you know? That's a further detailed question. How do you know that they made a mistake? When is it that you know that they made a mistake, and when is it that you think that they made a mistake? So if I marked their examination papers when they were learning for smicha and they only got 65, and this is part of the 35% that they didn't know, So I know that they made a mistake. But otherwise, how do you, what do you mean? I'm such a great Talmid Chacham. I know that they made a mistake. Who says I know they made a mistake? Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe they are right. Maybe there's a good explanation as to why. So that's a detailed question. The Ramban and the others at the Malamed L'Hol quote, they work on that. When is it a yediyah that they made a mistake, and when is it a hunch that they made a mistake? Rabbi Chana Vassman has a different suggestion, and he has, in his Kuntres Divei Sofim, he says that the Gemara in Yivamas Daf Peches Peches, that is, Gemara has a whole sugya to the effect that Yesh Kach Biar Chachamim Laka Dov Min Ator B'Shevi Al Tasa. The rabbis have authority to prohibit us from blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah Shcholis B'Shabbos, and to prohibit us from shaking a lulav when the first day Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and so on and so forth. Many other cases, they prohibit us from putting on tzitzis and a Beis Shal Pishton. Sometimes they prohibit a person from bringing a Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach. So where did they get this idea that they have the right to prohibit us? It says Mishmartem es Mishmarti Asum Mishmeres lo Mishmarti. Okay. They have a right, I say Siyog LaTorah, but they have a right to make a Siyog LaTorah Bakiras Domen LaTorah. They have a right to tell us to violate mitzvahs in the Torah. Where did they figure this one out from? So Rabbi Hanan suggests that maybe that's the meaning of this drasha. Al Yimin Shu Smo. Al Smo Shimin. Doesn't mean that they made a mistake. They tell you, it says in the Chumash this way, and we tell you with the power that we have, with the authority that we have as Rabbanan, don't listen to the Torah, listen to us. Don't fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah. And that's why the Gemara had a whole debate. Whether afilu yesh karach b'yachachamim lakadav minata afilu b'kum liyaseh aronim b'shevi al taseh. That's what Tosis discusses in Ksubas by the Ger Katan. The Ger Katan, if he's only a ger mid the Rabbanon, so we allow the Jewish girl to intermarry, to marry the Ger Katan. And all the other, it's all b'kum liyaseh. It's going to be violations b'kum liyaseh. So that's a discussion in the Gemara. To what extent do you say afilu al minshu small al small shevi? That's what Rabbi Chana Vassaman interprets the pshat in the pasuk. But the authority is not binding when it's an error. The reason why we have to listen to the Rabbanim when they pass on the Shaila is because we're supposed to assume that they were right. So the question is, how can we make such an assumption that they're right? They're only human beings. Human beings always make mistakes. The principle of infallibility is from a different religion, not from our religion. We have in Chumash a parsha of Parhalam Davashal Tzibur. It says possible. I don't know if they ever brought the Parhalam Davashal Tzibur. That's not recorded in the Gemara, whether they ever actually brought the Parhalam Davashal Tzibur. But theoretically, there is such an institution. If the Bez Nagadol made a mistake in a din, and they were mocked, there's something that Yesh Bo Koris, and the Roiv HaTzibur Sheberetz Yisrael violated the Easter, so then the Torah says that the Bez Nagadol brings one Chatas on behalf of the whole Klal Yisrael, and everybody gets an atonement. We don't know whether it ever happened, but for sure it's written on the books that it is possible for the Bez Nagadol, for the Sanhedrin, to make a mistake. So why are the Pesachim of the Bez Nagadol binding? Why are the Pesachim of any rabbi binding? So the answer is because we assume that they probably had a divine assistance not to make a mistake. We should assume so. Let's say two witnesses come and they say that so-and-so worshipped Abed Zon, he deserved his death penalty. The Bez Nagadol gives him the Einish Misa. Maybe they're lying. Maybe the Eidim are lying. So the Rambam says, what can you do? The Torah says we should rely on the Nemanus of the Eidim. Or let's say a man establishes himself as a Navi Muchzor. He shows us some Opsim, he predicts the future, and he convinces us that he's a Navi. Then he comes a month later, a year later, 10 years later, and he tells us, I had a Nevuah min HaShemayim that you should all smoke cigars this Shabbos, a special mitzvah lo hayrashah. He doesn't have to show us some Opsim every time. The Gemara says once he's been established as a Navi Muchzor, you're obligated to listen to what he tells you to do, even if it's in violation of the laws of the Torah. So maybe he's telling a lie. So the Rambam says the same as the Eidim. The Halacha says you have to rely on the Eidim. You have to rely on the fellow who's a Navi Muchzor. You have to rely that it's so. So here also we assume the Torah says we should follow the Pesachim of the Rabbonim, of the Bez Nagadol, and of the private Rabbonim, not only in judging other human beings. In Paschal and Hilchus Shabbos and Hilchus Kashrus, we should assume that the Rabbonim are not making a mistake because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that Sod Hashem Li'Reyev. He promised that he's going to give a divine assistance to the Talmid Chacham that they shouldn't make a mistake. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash understands that that's why the Bez and HaGadol should meet in the Lishkas HaGozes Samach L'Mizbeach Eitzel HaMikdosh, so that the Hashrat HaShchina, which is in the Beis HaMikdosh, should assist the Bez and HaGadol in their Pesachim. But it's not only Bez and HaGadol. Bez and HaGadol meets in the Lishkas HaGozes. It's any rabbi who paskins if he's a Yirei Shamayim, if he's qualified. So God promised that Hashem Li'Reyev, that he's going to give a divine assistance to the Talmid Chacham. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin in Perek Chelek comments on the pasuk that says, "Vahi David lechol the rachav maska b'Hashem imoy." It says, "Vahi showed lechol the rachav marshiach." It says that Shaul was not successful, and David was successful. So the Gemara says in Erevin that David was successful in paskening halacha l'maisa. He was very good in asuk yishmaitza li b'dilchasa, and Shaul could give a pilpul, but he couldn't pasken well halacha l'maisa. Mashiach means that he wasn't mechaben l'amitu shel Torah. He ordered the chol derachem maskel Hashem imoy. The Gemara says Hashem imoy shalacha k'masa b'chol mokam. How do you see that Hashem imoy? He had his divine assistance to pasken properly. Shaul did not have the divine assistance. The Gemara in Erevin discusses what should we attribute that to. How come David HaMelech had the divine assistance and Shaul did not have divine assistance? So the Gemara says David galyam asecht and Shaul lo galyam asecht. That's the question, what does that mean? Somehow the derech aliman of David HaMelech was better, was superior to that of Shaul. So that's why David's analysis of the sources always was superior to that of Shaul, and he was successful in asuk yishmaitza li b'dilchasa. What does that mean, galyam asecht? So there are different pshatim there. Rashi, other Rishonim have different pshatim. Some of the Rishonim learn pshat that David HaMelech always gave mar mekayimus to the students in advance. So when he gave the shiur, they were all prepared for it, and they could shlug him up. So there was a lot of give and take in the shiur. And Shaul didn't give mar mekayimus in advance. So when he gave the shiur, when he delivered the shiur, they couldn't ask him any kashas, because they didn't know what to prepare in advance. So the Mele, since there wasn't the pilpul in the shear, so that's why he didn't work out the shear as well. Moral of the story is, if the Rebbe has the ability to, he certainly should give all the mamkams in advance. That's when some of the shanim learn pshat galya masechta. He would be megal in advance. What part of the masechta he's going to give the shear on? I don't think Rashi learns like that. I think the Miri says like that. Rashi learns a different pshat, but it certainly is a good idea. So this is the reason why a psak of the Talmud Chacham is binding, is because of this promise that Zayd Hashem Lirev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to give a divine assistance to the Talmud Chachamim, that they should not make a mistake. Not only not make a mistake, we assume, which is basically the same thing, we assume that an honest-to-goodness Talmud Chacham formulates an opinion without negiyas. Not that he doesn't get along with women, so he's only going to develop halachas that are against women, treating the women in an inferior fashion. Or he came from the poor class, so he's always going to develop halachas in favor of the poor. Or he came from a rich group, so he's always going to darshan the psukim in favor of the rich, or something like that. So we assume that that's not true. We assume that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees to it that the halacha is developed in the correct fashion, not just based on the whims and the negias of every individual person. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. The Rambam speaks of those who are rapikursim, those who don't believe in the Yud Gimel Ikari Hamuna. So he says, one who doesn't believe in Torah Min HaShamayim, even if he doesn't believe in Torah Shabbal Pem Min HaShamayim, is an apikores. So the Rambam writes, HaKoifa B'Torah Shabbal Pem B'Hamakchish Magideha. So HaKoifa B'Torah Shabbal Pem doesn't believe that it's Min HaShamayim. There were many Jews that believed in Torah Shabbal Pem Min HaShamayim, didn't believe in Torah Shabbal Pem. What is HaMakchish Magideha? What does that mean? So he used to say that he heard from his father, he discussed it with his father many times, he said, HaMakchish Magideha means exactly that they say, the Rambam hated women, that's why the Rambam has well developed Sol HaDinim against women. Or this one came from the poor, and that's why he's always in favor of the poor. So you're not allowed to say that. That's HaMakchish Magideha. He's saying as if the Rabbonim are subject in developing their opinions, and halacha are all subject to all the negias that human beings have in the Congress, that everybody has in formulating stam narvish opinions. We believe otherwise. This is we believe that Zayd Hashem Lirev, our Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a divine assistance to the Talmid Chachamim to paskin properly, not based on their negias. If there's a negi of mammon, then it says he's not allowed to paskin. And it didn't tell a mammon, it's a negi of mammon paskin. But other negias, we assume that the Talmid Chacham will be above that negiya. The Gemara presents a machlekes hatanaim regarding Parsha Soto. Soto is the one place where the Torah promises a miracle, that if the husband is suspicious of his wife, that she's not faithful to him, If there was kino yistira, we went to the dinim the other day. But then he brings wife to the Beis Hamikdash and she drinks the Mayim Amarim, and the Torah promises a miracle will occur. No reason why she should die by drinking the water. It doesn't taste so good. It has a little sand in it, but the sand is not poisonous. She shouldn't get sick either. She doesn't have to drink the whole cup full of sand. So a little bit, she drinks a little bit. So the Torah promises that if she's guilty, she will die on the spot, or she will start to die. You'll notice right away that the eyes are bulging and the blood vessels are bulging. You'll see that she's on her way to die. Right away something will change. And if she's innocent, then the Torah promises also a miracle will occur, that she'll be nixed of an Israel Zar, even if for many years the women didn't have any children. She's promised that after this ordeal she'll be able to have children. And the Gemara records that there were instances during the period of the second Beis Hamikdash that women had no children, and they went through, they made believe that they were doing something improper, and the husbands vachoshed them, and they took them to the Beis Hamikdash, and then the miracle was fulfilled. The promise of the miracle was fulfilled, that they had children. So the Pasuk and the Parsha of Soto uses the term Daber B'nei Yisrael. So the Shach on the first page in Yerideh, page Aleph Amud Aleph, writes in the Nekudas HaKesef, that Tosfos and Sanhedrin talks about this, that sometimes the Tanoim will darshan B'nei Yisrael L'mayites HaGerim, and sometimes they will not darshan L'mayites HaGerim. So the Shach says it all depends on the context. You have to know, you have to have a feel for darshaning psukim, you have to know when it comes in the mood L'mayites again, when it doesn't come L'mayites again. So here there's a Machalotis HaTanoim in the Mishnais, with the Mashkim is HaGioris. This miracle that the Torah promised about all the future generations, that if the husband brings his wife to the Beis Hamikdash and she drinks the Mayim Amarim, this will be Mevarer, whether Zinsa or Loi Zinsa. So the Pasuk says, Dabreel B'nei Yisrael, so there's a Machalotis HaTanoim. So one Tana says the promise, the whole Haftacha of the whole miracle only applies if the husband is a Yisrael. If the husband is a Ger, the miracle was never promised. Another Tanoim disagree. So the Mishnah records that Shmai be'Avtalion, who themselves were descendants of either they were Gerim or they were descendants of Ger. The Rambam claims in his commentary on Mishnah that Shmai be'Avtalion were Gerim. And the Tesis Yontem on Mishnah is Pirkei Avos says, how can it be? Quotes the Rambam, how can it be? How could they be appointed to members of the Sanhedrin if they're Gerim? It must be that they were descendants of Gerim. Can't be that they themselves were Gerim. Whatever it was, the Gemara says they couldn't pronounce Hebrew well, because the Gemara says they used to call them Bnei Amamaya. They were descendants of non-Jews. They were clearly known as a Gerim or Bnei Gerim. So the Mishnah records that Shmai B'Avtalion lived during the period of the Second Temple. So their opinion was that Mashkim is Hagiris, that the promise of Parsha Saito, the Haftoch of the miracle, applies even to an Ashes Hagir. So there's one character who said, of course they're going to say like that. They themselves were Gerim. So they were always Paskin Dinim in favor of the Gerim. So the Mishnah says they put the man in Nidui, because you're not allowed to speak like that about an honest to goodness Talmud Chacham. There are a lot of faker rabbis around. There are a lot of fakers. They'll give you a Hashgach on him for a few dollars. If you pay him enough money, they'll tell you ham is kosher. If you pay him enough money, they'll say a coin can marry a grusha. They'll tell you a woman doesn't need a get. For enough money, they'll tell you a woman doesn't need a get. She can remarry without a get. There are all kinds of fakers around. So fakers are all over. But if you're talking about honest to goodness Talmud Chacham, like Shmai Avtalion, so the Gemara says that's a violation of an Ikir and Emunah. We believe that the real honest to goodness Talmid HaChamim are not controlled by their feelings, are not subject to the pressures of Negiyas, that a psak that they give will be Lamayla Min HaNegiyas. And whoever says such a thing, that Shmai V'Avtalion Paskin because of the fact that they were Gerim, is Roila Nadosa. He deserves to be put in Nidui. I remember years ago, people used to read the Morgen Shanal, the Yiddish newspaper, used to be a big thing. Now it's trash. All the Yiddish newspapers are mamish garbage. But years ago it used to be an important thing. So every seventh year, the Sukkot following a Shemitah year, there used to be two advertisements on the same page in the newspaper. The Mizrahi would always put in an advertisement that this year, as every year, Rabbi Soloveitchik recommends you should buy your Esrog from Eretz Yisrael. And despite the fact that last year was a Shemitah year, and all the farmers who were growing the Esrog and were relying on the Het Mechira, it's 100% okay, no problem. Buy an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael, support the farmers in Israel. They were having the same page, an advertisement from the Satmar Hasidim, that the Satmar Rebbe Shlita said that because this year is a Shemitah year, because last year was a Shemitah year, you're not allowed to buy an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael, because the farmers violated the laws of Shemitah. So people, a lot of people who used to read the Hamayinam used to read the Yiddish newspapers. Everybody said, we could have told you with our eyes closed, Rabbi Soloveitchik is the honorary president of the Mizrahi. So of course he's pro-Medina, so of course he's going to say that there's nothing wrong with buying an Esrog from Eretz Yisrael, and the Satmar Rebbe is against the Medina. So of course he's going to be against everything that they do. So of course he's going to say it's no good. Truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with whether you're pro-Medina or anti-Medina. Rav Moshe Feinstein was not the honorary president of the Mizrahi, and he writes the same thing that Rabbi Soloveitchik said. It has nothing to do. I remember when I was in Bnei Akiva many years ago, I remember this line, Mishemah min b'kdushat ha'aretz vada yimtza heter. They were talking about the heter mechir. Whoever believes in the kdushas ha'aretz, vada. And then years later I grew up and I found out ha'kol ha'epach, Mishemah min b'kdushat ha'aretz, then there's no heter. And Shemitah is deraisa. The whole heter mechir is on the assumption that the kdushas ha'aretz is only the Rabbanan, that the Shemitah is only with the Rabbanan. Mishemah min b'em is b'kdushas ha'aretz, there's no heter. It's not a political issue. If you believe in the Medina, then there's a heter. If you don't believe, there's no heter. And the issue with the Esrog has nothing to do with the Medina, yeah, Medina, no Medina. It's a Shalab Esrog, she is the Heter Achila. Is this called Ein Heter Achila? Because of Mishumer. Has nothing to do at all. Has nothing to do with the politics of the Medina. So people used to say that. That was scandalous. What, the Satmar Rebbe was a faker? Rabbi Soloveitchik was a faker? Satmar Rebbe had unusual opinions about the Medina. His opinions were not shared by the overwhelming majority of the Gdolei HaTorah. It was very unusual. No one said he's a faker. Everybody respected him. It was an honest to goodness Talmud Chacham. He held that the Esrog is no good because they violated the laws of Shemitah, Mishumer. We can understand why he held that it's no good, and others held that it was good. You can be pro-Medina and hold that it's no good. You can be anti-Medina and say that it is good. It's not totally Zedizeh. One who says like that is Roy Leonard Doyce. To say to all, that's what they said. All the rabbis, they're all a bunch of politicians. All the psukim that they give are all based on their political perspective. And if you don't share their political perspective, so you don't have to follow their psukim. That's a violation of this Iker et Amunah. Amunah's Chachamim. That's the Iker of Amunah's Chachamim. What does Amunah's Chachamim mean? The Torah promises, Hashem Lirev, Aviso Lahadiyam, that you have to follow the Psak of the Talmud Chacham and assume that he was not subject to Negias. Every so often we find out that the rabbis made a mistake. The whole Beis Nagoro can vote unanimously that it's Mutter to eat the Chalev, and then they will realize that they all made a mistake. All 71 members made a mistake. That's a Parsha in the Chumash. So it says in the Torah that we don't believe in anybody's infallibility, even the Beis Nagoro. It is possible to make a mistake, but until you know b'feirish that the person made a mistake, until you establish b'feirish that he was his mind was twisted because of his political agenda, so then you're not allowed to say such a thing if you think the person is an honest and honest Tanakh. There are many who consider themselves Orthodox who have the attitude that the Amoraim never understood the Tanoim, and the Rishonim all had the wrong use in the Gemara, and the Achrenim for sure misunderstood the Rishonim. No one understood anybody else. There was always a breakdown in tradition, but whatever it says in Shulchan Aruch is binding anyway, because that's the Halacha. The Halacha is binding, so you got to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So that's not what we believe. We believe the Shulchan Aruch is binding because we assume that it's not an error. If I'm convinced that there's a mistake, I'm not allowed to follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch. That's what Herman Luk thought originally. Now he's a Daf Yomi man. He gives a Daf Yomi shir. Now Mistama, he saw the light. Now he knows that Halacha is binding because we assume it's correct. Not that Halacha is binding even though it's an error. Halacha is not binding when it's an error. That's what the Rambam writes. The Rambam writes one of the Yudgim Likoremun, the Shazal Satar Hamtsuya Atabi Adeno, he Hanasuna la Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean? The Torah, as we observe it today, is authentic and accurate, and this is what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. It means that we assume that there are no mistakes. Every so often we discover that there are mistakes. We discover there's a printing error, and this one misunderstood. So whenever there's a mistake, so we straighten it out. You don't continue to follow the opinion that's been established as a mistake. If it's wrong, it's wrong. You throw it out. The reason why the halacha is binding is because we assume that it is correct. The story goes about Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, that once on Purim night they were reading the Megillah in Shul, and Professor Gratz was there. Gratz was a student of his in his school, and then Gratz was Yotze the Tarbis Roh, and he wrote this whole book on history where he denies the whole Torah Shabbat Peh, and he denies a lot of things that appear in Tanakh. So the story goes that Gratz was a real yekke, very medactic, so he was standing right near the Balkari to make sure that he hears every word. So Rabbi Hirsch asked him after the Mikra Megillah was all over, why are you so medactic? But you write in your history book that the whole story of Purim never happened. The whole thing is a fable. So he said, no, but it's a Takonas Chachamim. Chachamim made a Takonah. You have to, even if they made a mistake, the Takonas Chachamim is Biden. So that's not our religion. That's a different religion. In the Jewish religion, takanas are only binding if they're based on what really happened. A takana that's based on a mistake is not binding. A psak that's based on a mistake is not binding. If he's so convinced that he prints it in his book, that the story of Purim never happened, so I wouldn't listen to the Mikra Megillah there. If you think that maybe it did happen, so don't print in your book that it's for sure that it never happened. Write that you, this is what Yeshli has stopped, but don't write the Hechlet that it never happened. Or there are people who say that the Nes Chanukah never happened. They won the war, that was the Nes, but there was no Nes of the Pach Hashem. So if there was no Nes of the Pach Hashem, and why do they say every day Shos and Nisim when they bench Chanukah? The Gemara says the reason why you say Shos and Nisim every day, you said Shos and Nisim the first day. There were the Nisim in the floors of the Muhammad. Why do you say every day? So the Gemara says because there was a Nes every day in the Beis HaMikdash in connection with the Hadlokas HaNeiros. But if a person is convinced, they'll say in public, absolutely clear to him, 100% clear, there never was a Nes of the Pach Hashem. So what is he saying in Brachol Vatovah? So the Shitascha, don't say, you have to be honest. What do you say? No, the Halacha is binding even when it's an error. That's not the Jewish religion. Christianity is an error. And they hold that it's binding. The Jewish religion is binding because it's true. Not binding even though it's an error. There is no such thing. The Gemara has an interesting comment on the pasuk V'lo Yeyachel Es Bisoro, that the Shor HaNiskol is also Ba'ano. So the Gemara says Es is always a ribui. So the Gemara says Es L'Rabes Es Oro, that even the high is also Ba'ano, that Or is not Dina Kibasar. It says V'lo Yeyachel Es Bisoro, the Basar, the Sar Shor HaNiskol is also Ba'ano. So it says V'lo Yeyachel Es Bisoro, Es HaTofel L'Bisoro refers to the Or, Hanoas Oro. Or the Gemara has another pasuk in the beginning of Sukkah, beginning of there. The Gemara has a pasuk, Barachatz es bisara b'mayim. When a person is tummy, he's tovel in the mikveh. So what does it mean? Es bisaray. Es is l'rabes hatofel b'saray. It's mar b'seyor. If a person has long hair, it's not enough if the person is tovel in the mikveh. The body, Barachatz es bisara b'mayim, the bisar hatome, has to be tovel the hair also. Es hatofel b'sara, l'rabes es haseyor. So the words of the Maharami Prague writes in one of his many Svarim, Maharami Prague writes that the word es, the Chachamim always saw as a ribui to be marbis something which is tuffle to whatever it says in the pasuk. Es bisara, l'rabis es hatuffle the bisara. The or, or the seyor. So there's another pasuk that says, es Hashem okecha tira, l'rabis tamir Chachamim. That you have to mara rabach and mara shamayim. The Gemara in Bava Kam. The Rebbe Kiva, who is a Shimon, I'm saying, used to darshan every time it says es. Until he came to that pasuk in Dvarim, Es Hashem Lokecha Tira Pirush. So he stopped all of his drasha. How can you darshan that you have to have fear for any other entity in addition to God? God is the only one. Es Hashem Lokecha Tira. You can't be marbe anything else. Asher bar Rabbi Akiva v'limed bar Rabbi Kamar Shemayim, that Es is marbe Es the Rabbis Talmid Chacham. So the Maharami Prague says, what does it mean Es? Es is marbe something which is tuffle to the next thing. Es Hashem Lokecha Tira. You assume the Talmud Chacham is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the Baal HaBatim. That's why over here the pasuk refers to the Dayanim as Elohim Lashon Chol. Elohim Lashon Kodesh is the Rabbanu Shel Olam in person. Elohim Lashon Chol are those who are very close to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Dayanim, that we assume that they're having a divine assistance as the Ayat HaDishmaya, that passed them properly, so they're like Shuttim with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why the pasuk refers to them as Elohim. At the end of Parshas Mishpatim, you have the continuation of the description of the Maimon HaSinai and the debate between the Ramban and Rashi. What was the Seder HaDvarim, the Korbanos HaGer, the Korbanos that they brought in the end of Parshas Mishpatim? These were before Maimon HaSinai, these were after Maimon HaSinai. All discussion. So the pasuk says that in order to have a ger, you have to, gerus requires kabbalas on mitzvahs. If you have a ger who never accepted all our mitzvahs, then gerus is not valid. He remains a goy gomer. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Rambam that if you have a ger who didn't have kabbalas on mitzvahs, but the gerus is valid. That's a pelodic statement. How can it be such a thing? The Gemara says it's impossible. A ger without kabbalas on mitzvahs is a goy gomer. So the Mefarshim explain what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch meant is a different thing. The dramatic Kabbalah on mitzvahs is not Me'akev. Our practice is that, as is described in the Brice and the Gemara Yevamos, the ger stands in the mikveh up until his neck in water, and then the bezin is standing there outside. He's wearing a bathrobe, the bezin is standing there, and then they start interrogating him, not for an hour, for a few minutes. They already spoke to him previously. And now they say, as he's about, the moment before he's about to dunk his head under the water, right before the tefillah, do you believe in God? Do you believe in Torah Menashe Mayim? Do you reject the Trinity? And so on and so forth. If he used to be a Catholic, if he was never Catholic, you don't have to ask him about the Trinity. You have to ask highlights of the dinim, and then he's tovel in the mikveh right then. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch write that this dramatic Kabbalas on mitzvahs immediately prior to the tefillah in the mikveh, this is not Me'akev, as long as we know that there was a Kabbalas on mitzvahs in the presence of the bezin. But if there's no Kabbalas on mitzvahs, then the Gemara says regarding the kusim, it says in Tanakh that they converted to become Jewish because when they moved to Eretz Yisrael, they were being attacked by the lions, which was unusual because there ain't no lions in Eretz Yisrael. The lions come from Asia. So where did they come here? So they were petrified and they made up this whole story that the Jewish God is Elokei Haaretz. That part is correct, Elokei Haaretz. And he sent the lions, and if they don't convert, they're going to be devoured by the lions. So they converted to Judaism with zero Kabbalas on mitzvahs, nothing. It says Elohim Hayu Ovdim. They still continue to worship Avod Zarah. So the lions were satisfied. The lions were satisfied with this Jewish Elokei Halacha, and they stopped pestering these kusim. But the Gemara says they were going gemur, that the conversion was not valid at all. The Gemara has a machloikas with the kusim Geri Emzain. So Taisus explains what it means is, was there a point later in history at which time they converted again? But the original conversion was zero. So clearly there was no Kabbalas on mitzvahs at all at that time. So that's the whole idea of screaming out Nasa, Nasa and Ishma, that you have to have a Kabbalas on mitzvahs. What does it mean, Nasa? We promise to keep all the Taryag mitzvahs out there. Nasa, we will do the mitzvahs. What is Nasa and Ishma? First they said Nasa, in Pasuk Gimel, chapter Chavdal, Pasuk Gimel, then a few psukim later, Pasuk Zayin, the text is changed, Kol Asher Dibar Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. The Gemara points out that out of order should have been Nishma V'Na'aseh. We will listen to what God wants us to do, and we will fulfill His commands. Why does it say Na'aseh V'Nishma? It's a little silly, a little foolish. They're rushing to do Hashem's will before they even know what He wants them to do. Nasa v'nishma. So the Gemara says that the goyim always used to complain about the Jews that we are an ama pezizo. We're in a rush to do things, but we don't know what we're running to get things done, but we don't know what we're supposed to do. First we say nasa, and then we're going to do nishma. First we're going to do it, then we're going to find out what were we supposed to have done. What kind of a way of presenting was that? So the Gemara says that the accusation of the Mosoilim against the Jews that we do wrong, that we're an Amma Paziza, we're running to do things before we know what we're supposed to do, is incorrect. We learned this secret from the angels. Migila Rozel Bonai, who revealed this secret to my children? This is the secret only the angels know. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim that describes the angels as Oisi Dvaro, Lishmo Bekol Dvaro. First they do what God commands them to do, and then Lishmo Bekol Dvaro afterwards. The first Nasa and then Nishma. So we do like the angels. What does the Taka mean? Doesn't make any sense. It should have been Nishma Benasa. Should have been Nishma Benasa. It's a problem. So the Beis HaLevi has a famous explanation in the Hakdamah to his Shailus HaTshuvos, where he claims that Nasa means Asiyas HaMitzvos and Nishma means Limud HaTorah, to listen to the Torah, to listen to the Dinim. So if Bnei Yisrael would have said Nishma Benasa, then would it mean we're going to learn the Torah in order to know how to keep Shabbos, Kashrus, Taras, HaMishpacha. We'll learn the Dinim that will be relevant to us, and then we'll observe all the mitzvahs. And Talmud Torah would have only been a Hechsher mitzvah, a way to enable us to fulfill the other 613 mitzvahs. There would have only been 612 mitzvahs. There wouldn't be an independent mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah would have been like you have to buy a lulav in order to have water shake, like you have to make a mezuzah in order to hang it up on the door, like you have to buy a pair of tefillin. So that's only a hachana, that's a hechsher mitzvah. The mitzvah is having the mezuzah on the door. The mitzvah is wearing the tefillin. So the mitzvah is performing the 612 mitzvahs, and learning the dinim is just to give you the ability to perform the mitzvah. So that's why the Gemara has an expression, b'shor she'ikdimu Yisrael nasa v'nishma, when the Jewish people first said nasa and then nishma. B'shor she'ikdimu Yisrael, they said first kodim, nasa, And then Nishma, then the angels came down from heaven and gave each Jewish person two crowns on his head. It sounds as if they would have said it in the normal order, Nishma Manasseh, they wouldn't have reversed the order. The angels would have only given each Jew one crown. Why two crowns? Because they said it out of order. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says. That's what he explains in the Hakdamah to Shalas HaTshuvas. If they would have said Nishma Manasseh, Talmud Torah would have not existed as a separate mitzvah. It would have only been a Heksha mitzvah to the fulfillment of the remaining 612 mitzvahs. So there wouldn't have been, it wouldn't have constituted a separate Kabbalah. It's basically Nasa. They said before Nasa. In Parshas Yisra they said Nasa. In Mishpatim they said Nasa. Then when they said, if they would have said Nishma Manasseh, it's basically the same as Nasa. We're going to learn the dinim in order to know how to fulfill God's mitzvahs. But because they said the reverse order, Nasa and Ishma, itself understood they're going to have to learn Torah in order to know how to keep the mitzvahs. But they said, and we also accept upon ourselves, we promise, we obligate ourselves to learn Torah as an independent mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, even to learn kochim and taris and zroim, even the aspects of Torah that are not relevant to us. Just to know what's relevant, you can be able to keep the shulchan aruch. You have to break your head on these milos of biyuchsin, with the trei rubi, with the svek sveke, with all these almanas isa. In the yeshivas, people learn things that are absolutely not relevant, even if they're not relevant in halacha ma'aseh. So the reason why is because we assume that liman ha-Torah is a separate mitzvah. It's not just a heksha mitzvah, and that's what the Beis HaLevi explains. That's why we recite a bracha before we learn Torah. If liman ha-Torah would have only constituted a heksha mitzvah, then the Gemara says when you tie the tzitzis and the beged, you don't recite a bracha. The Gemara says one of the rabbanim was reciting a bracha when he tied the tzitzis in his beged. The Gemara in Perakat Chelos tells him. And the other Amora said, what is it? What are you saying at bracha? It's a bracha levatola. You don't say a bracha when you tie the tzitzis. You only say a bracha when you put on the garment. Because kol mitzvah, shasiyasa, gemar mitzvah, so if this is the gemar ha-mitzvah, then you say a bracha. If it's only a heksha mitzvah, tying on the chuti tzitzis to the garment, is only a hachana. The actual mitzvah is the wearing of the talis. So no bracha is recited. So why does one recite a bracha when one learns Torah? The answer is because liman ha-Torah constitutes a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. It's not just a heksha mitzvah that it enables us to fulfill the 612 mitzvahs. Liman ha-Torah is both a heksha mitzvah, the psuch m'seil amadatam osim mishmartam alasos mishaloy nedinim, in order to know how to fulfill the mitzvahs. Then you have other psuch that say l'amadatam osim l'vnechem l'dababom, should sit and learn. Not only l'amadatam osim mishmartam alasos, liman ha-Torah is both a heksha mitzvah to enable you to fulfill all the other mitzvahs, as well as a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo, to learn, to do Talmud Torah. That's how the Beis HaLevi understands Nasa v'Nishma. Nishma means Liman HaTorah. Others give other interpretations. Another famous explanation is, many Rishonim say this, that Nishma means to try to understand the reasons for the mitzvahs. So the Jewish people committed themselves, Nasa, we promise to keep the mitzvahs even if we will not understand what they're all about, even if we think that they don't make any sense. Even if you think that this mitzvah is out of style, you still do chalitza today. One of the professors, one of the students said they had a chalitza. What do you mean? A professor of Bible and us, they still do chalitza today. I don't believe it. What do you mean you don't believe it? What do you want, the woman should stay in Aguna for the rest of us? Because you do chalitza today, you have no choice. You think that it's barbaric or something, awkward, so you got no choice. We got to do the mitzvahs whether we like them or not. There are mitzvahs that are very unpleasant that we don't enjoy. So Nasa means a commitment to observe all the mitzvahs. Nishma means we're going to try to delve into the reasons for the mitzvahs to understand them. So they're not going to say Nishma v'Nasa. Nishma milosh and Shma to understand. The Gemara has a machleka. The word Shma sometimes means the verb. Lishma means to hear. And Lishma means to understand. The Gemara has a machleka satarayim on Shma Yisrael. But the Shema means Hashma liyoznecha, you have to hear. And if lo hishmi liyozno lo yotze, if you whispered Kriya Shema and you didn't hear it, that you're not yotze. That's one tana, and we don't pass like that. We pass in that Shema does not mean Hashma liyoznecha. Shema means b'cholosh and shato shemeya. Nishma means lohavin, to understand. That's what we discussed as a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, that the Mishnah Berurah quotes by Hilchos Kiddush. Shemeya ko'ine, when you hear someone else say a bracha, you yotze with the din of Shamea Koine. So what if I don't understand the words of the bracha? So that's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos. So Tosfos holds that Shamea means lohavin. If you don't understand, zalo Shamea. Shamea is not just to hear. Sometimes the word Shamea means to hear. Sometimes the word Shamea means to understand. So by Shemei Kain, it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Are you yotze with Shemei Kain if you don't understand? So here, that's what many Rishonim say. Kol Hashadib Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma, we will perform the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said it out of order, and we will try to understand the mitzvahs. Later, after we will do the mitzvahs, we will try to understand them. You find that Avraham Avinu was prepared to bring his son for the Akedah, and he didn't understand it at all. It didn't make sense at all. After the whole Akedah was all over, then Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he says, Avraham Avinu presents his tightness against the Baruch Hu. I don't understand. Why did you put me... He told me Yitzchak, he called the Chozera, then he told me the Shechter, then he told me the Do Shechter. I don't understand. He didn't ask the Kasha in advance, he did the Ratzon Hashem. Without understanding, it was clear to him that this is Ratzon Hashem. And then later on he said, that's called Nasa V'Nishma. We do the mitzvahs whether we understand them or not, and then we try to understand them later. To try to understand the mitzvahs is also a chelik of Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is to learn the dinim, and to try to understand the reasons for the dinim, to try to understand what moral, ethical, or religious principle the mitzvahs are trying to teach us. That's how the Meiri interprets the pasuk in Tehillim that says, Tuv tamid aslam deini, ki b'mitzvisecha he'monti. He interprets ki means despite the fact. Even though I have emuna anyway, I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway, but I plead with you, the Rebbeinu Shlom, Tuv tamid aslam deini, teach me the reasons for the mitzvahs. I'm going to do the mitzvahs anyway, but the first you have to have nasa. After you have the nasa, then you can have the nishma. And the Briskerov has a different interpretation. He quotes a Mechilta that the word nishma means knisa lebris. Nasa means observance of the taryag mitzvah sater, and nishma means agreeing to the bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a covenant, a contract between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So the entering into the contract, entering into the covenant, was also done as a chelik of nasa. Bnei Yisrael didn't say we will enter into an agreement with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then because we will agree to keep his mitzvahs, then the melech, we committed ourselves. They say no, we will do everything that God wants us to do, including entering into the contract. The contract itself was not that, it's not out of our own, it's like we said, Kof Aleim Harki Gigas. It's not that Bnei Yisrael accepted upon themselves the obligation to perform all the mitzvahs, and melech have to live up to their half of the deal, they have to live up to their agreement. No, their entering into the agreement, entering into the contract, was done as a form of fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. That was done as a chelik of Nasa. Nasa v'nishma, nishma means knisa lebris, is a chelik of the Nasa. That's how Dovala interprets the pasuk. There are more interpretations. There are several different interpretations. What did the Gemara see here in the reversal of the two verbs? First Nasa and then nishma. What does it mean? And then the pasuk says, and that pasuk of Nasa v'Nishma, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu read the contract to the Bnei Yisrael. They had a written contract over this creation. Vayikach sefer abris, vayikro b'yosneihom. He read the contract. The lawyers always say you better read all the fine print. So he read the whole contract, and all vayomer kol hashadib Hashem Nasa v'Nishma. They said, okay, we agree to every line in the contract. What is this contract? What is the sefer abris? The Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that the Sefer Abris means from Bereshis till Matan Torah. The Sefer, the Chumash, is the Sefer Abris. At the time of Maimon HaSinai, the Sefer Abris consisted only of what Rashi writes from Bereshis till Maimon HaSinai. Mi Bereshis van Matan Torah, Mitzvah Shinestava Memorah. But later, and towards the end of the lifetime, before Moshe Rabbeinu dies, so more was added on to the Chamishu Chumashi Torah, so the entire Chumash is considered the Sefer Abris. The Nevi'im Ksuvim are not considered Sefer Abris. The Chamishu Chumashi Torah has a special status that is the Sefer Abris. There is a klal in the Gemara, Ein Amikri Yotze Midei Pshutai, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu, he had many different intentions. Yav Lahavdol Nochrim, write books, write poems. And they have more than one intention. They have a superficial kavana, the story that they're telling. They write a novel, so that's one kavana. And then sometimes they have a hidden meaning, then sometimes they have two hidden meanings. So it's not so difficult to imagine that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu in such a way that Achaz Dibur Lakim, it's one text, but Shtaim Zu Shamayim, there are two meanings. There's the obvious meaning, and then there's the hidden meaning. The Gemara says, Mikir Echad Yotze L'Kamitanim. You can have one pasuk that has many levels of interpretation, and they were all intended by the author. We spoke about it. The pasuk says, Loisechane. The pasuk says Loisechane. So the Gemara has three levels of interpretation, and they're all deraisa. Loisechane miloshen chinam, not to give matnas chinam. Loisechane miloshen chanoya, not to let the Ummah Sa'ilam have a mokm chanoya in Eretz Yisrael. And Loisechane miloshen chain, Loisechane bienech. And all three levels of interpretation. It's like Gemara now with the Zohar Daf Chof. And all three pshat makodim in the Rama Meshulchanot. They're all three deraisa. Then you have such a pasuk. The Gemara has 5-6 interpretations, and they roll their rice. Everything is their rice. Eating before davening, that's a question. That's a question. If davening is only with the Rabbana, how can it be prohibited to eat before davening in Torah? So the Miri says, if davening is their rice, then this is also their rice. If davening is the Rabbana, he still makes it into their rice. He tries to say all six interpretations on Losoch L'Adam, they roll their rice. Everything is their rice. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash. So the Gemara has a klal. Whatever additional level of interpretation you're going to see in the pasuk, but the pshuto shel mikra is always emes. Ein amikra yaitze midei pshuto. You can't disregard the pshuto. You have to accept the pshuto shel mikra, and then in addition to that, all the drashas chachamim, the additional levels of interpretation are also true. But the pshuto is always true. The Gemara says only one pasuk in the whole chumash, in the whole Tanakh, where there's no pshuto shel mikra. The Gemara in Yevamah says in the second parak. It says in Chumash, when a man performs Yibum, so it says, V'hoi ha'pchor she'telot yokam ha'shamach ha'v'ameis v'lei mochishmo b'Yisrael. That the first baby that's born should be named after the brother who died, and he shouldn't be forgotten. V'lei mochishmo b'Yisrael. So the Gemara says that it's totally not what it means. There is no such din. The baby does not have to be named after the one who died. And each phrase in the pasuk is an allusion to a different din, and you can't put the whole pasuk together. There is no pshuto shel mikra. V'hoi ha'pchor mitzvah b'gadol yabim. Ha'shetele prat la'ilinus. Yokem ha'shamach ha'bameis means that it gets the Yerusha. V'loi ha'mach ha'shmo prat l'sori sh'shmo mochli. And the whole, you can't put the whole pasuk together. It doesn't make any sense at all. That's a tradition that's one pasuk that was written in outline form. It's like a person is taking notes when someone's giving a lecture. So that pasuk is only notes, and it doesn't make any sense when you put the whole pasuk there. But every other pasuk in the Chumash, the Gemara says, is ein amikra yetzei midei pshuto. And a lot of times the Gemara never tells you what the pshuto is. Writes that there's a part of Torah Shabbat Peh Halach L'Moshe Misina. Then there's another part of Torah Shabbat Peh that he calls Pirushim HaMakubalim L'Moshe Misina. So we have a tradition that's what that phrase means. That's another way of saying moment. Ayin Tachasayim means moment. Or it says Pri Eitz Hadar. So the Rambam writes Pri Eitz Hadar means Esther. It doesn't mean any good looking fruit, any appealing fruit that juicy and you start to salivate, you want to eat that fruit. No one's so chalashing to eat the esregen. Tastes like lemon. Our esregen tastes like lemon. They don't taste so good. So the Rambam writes, we have pirushim hamkubalim l'moshe misina. We have certain psukim and chumash that we have a tradition that's what it means. That's the pshuto shel mikra. That pasuk goy apachor shetelet. The mam is no pshuto shel mikra at all. The sentence doesn't read straight. Here the tradition has it that's what this phrase means. Like the Targum Onkelos says on today's sedra, vayechzos olakim. Vayochlu vayishtu. In chapter Chavdalit, Pasuk Yodalah. El atzile b'nei Yisrael l'sholach yodo. Vayechzu esu elekim nehadigil l'shchina. Vayochlu vayishtu. So the Targum Onkelos translates, they were rejoicing so much. The atzile b'nei Yisrael were rejoicing. V'havachodon, the korbaneihon, the iskabalo b'ravo. They were rejoicing over the fact that their korbanos were accepted. Ke'ilu ochlu mishosin, as if they had eaten and as if they had had a drink. Doesn't mean by yochlu mishosin that they ate and they drank. The Targum Onkelos says that's pshat in the pasuk. Targum Onkelos is not supposed to give drashas chazal. It's supposed to give just pshuto shel mikra. Mar seems to say when you teach little children, you're supposed to teach with Targum Onkelos because he always gives pshuto shel mikra. So the Targum holds that's the pshuto shel mikra over here. Or the other pasuk that says in Bahaloischa, when they were complaining against Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam and Aaron said Lashnar against Moshe Rabbeinu, Aloisha Kushis Asher Lokoch Ki Isha Kushis Lokoch. So what does it mean? Married Asharta. They were complaining, why married Ashikse? What does it mean? So the Targum Onkelos says no. The Isha Kushit, whom he married, he divorced. They were complaining why he divorced his wife. Who does he think he is? Does he think that he's a bigger Navi than we are? We didn't get divorced. We also have Nevuah. You got to take it easy. He's not from out of state. And then the answer was given, no, he is. He's a much greater prophet than you are. And he had, I told him. I told him to divorce his wife. He didn't do it on his own. Pirish Min of Isha. And I told him that he has the Pirish Min of Isha. So the Tag Munkus over there says, Isha Kushis Lokach, that the Isha Kushis, whom he married, he divorced. That's how he learned, that's the Pashup Shat in the Pasuk. Yeah, Pirush Maham Kubalim Lamashim Mishinim. So that's what the Rishonim a lot of times in the commentaries on Chumash work very hard to try to figure out what is the Pshuta Shal Mikra. It's not against the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ena Mikra Yetzim Adei Pshuta. Whatever is Pshuta Shal Mikra is certainly La Locha. A lot of times the Gemara doesn't even bother to tell you the Pshuta. They're giving you the additional levels of interpretation. But it's important always to ascertain what is the Pshuta Shal Mikra. So there's, take for example, in the beginning of today's Sedra, this morning they read the Kriya Sater, V'chiyim Karish is Bitalom, Lo Seitzei Kitzei So Avodim. So Rashi quotes a pshat, if you have an Omoho Evriya, she doesn't have a Yetziya Lecherus, with Shen V'yayin, Kitzei So Avodim, like an Ebek Naini. That's the Pshuta Shal Mikra. It's a dead giveaway, that's not the Pasha Pshat. It's not the wrong Pshat, but that's not the Pshuta. That's a Drasha, that's an additional level of interpretation. Lo Seitzei, she doesn't have a Yetziya Lecheris, Kitzei So Avodim Aknainim. It doesn't say that. That's an additional level of interpretation. But what's the Pshuta Shal Mikra? So the Tur, in his commentary on the Pasuk, gives what he thinks is Pasha Pshat, that if you have an Eved Ivri, a male Eved, so you can ask him to go shopping in the mall, you can ask him to go deliver a package to a neighbor or something like that. But if you have a girl who is an Omoha Ivriya, that's not right. It's not right to ask the girl to do work outside of the house. Lo se tzeh kitzeh salavodim. It's not right to ask the female servants to do the same type of work that you would ask a male servant to do. To ask the girl lo se tzeh to do a malacha michutz labayis, that's a violation. That's nias. You have no right to ask her to do that. What the Chazal say about the yitziyah, the shen v'ayin, that's an additional level of interpretation. A lot of times you have to work on the pshuto shel mikra. So there is an interesting machlokes, the Rambam and the Ravid on today's sedra, regarding the din of Boba Machteres. The Pasuk says that if a person is a roideh, if someone is out to kill someone else, so he's nitan latzila ben afsho. We're permitted and obligated to kill a roideh if we feel that it's necessary to kill him. If you can save the other guy's life by screaming at the roideh, so scream. So chase him away. That'll be the end of the story. Or by taking away the gun. At the end of the story, a little kid has a gun. So take away the gun. Why do you have to kill a kid? A little baby. So take it away and give the kid a snack and let him cry. You can end the whole Hovidifa. You don't have to kill the Raidif. But if you see that it's necessary to kill the Raidif in order to save the Nirdaf, then you got no choice. So it says in the Pasuk that you have the right and the obligation to kill the Raidif. So then the Pasuk says, Imba Machteres. This is the first Pasuk in chapter Chabbeis. Imba Machteres Imotzi Haganav Hukav Ameis. If the Ganev is burglarizing the house, he's crawling in, he dug. Machteres means underground. Machteres, yeah. If he dug a hole, he's digging a big hole under the house in order to steal all the property inside the house. And it's obvious, and he's coming with a weapon, and it's obvious that if the balabas will resist, will give him a hard time, he's prepared to shoot the balabas. So then it says, "V'hukav ames." If someone kills him, ain't lo dam. We consider the ganav as if he's a gaber ktila, and you have a right to kill him. There's no other. In zorach Hashem shalav, but if it's in broad daylight, damim lo, then he is considered alive. He's not a gaber ktila, and you're not allowed to kill him. So how do you translate "im zorach Hashem shalav"? If it's in broad daylight, what does that mean? So the Rambam quotes from the Gemara that this is a melitza. This is a mlitz, not to be taken literally. Im zoch Hashem shalav means, Rashi writes, Ein zelekim in moshel. Rashi quotes from the Gemara and from the Mechilta, Ein zelekim in moshel. And the Rambam writes the same as Rashi. Im borlecho adover, kashem shazeh. If it's clear vidatov, if it's clear as daylight, that the ganef is not prepared to kill the balabos. So then you have no right to kill a ganav. And if it's not clear, then you have right to kill a ganav. When is it clear? When is it not clear? So the Gemara in the first daf in Pesachim gives you the at the end of Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, if the father is burglarizing the son's home, so the Gemara says the father will never kill his own son. There's some crazy parents who do kill their children, okay? But then if it's in such a case, then he has a din of Baba Machteris. But if you don't know one way or the other, and a father is burglarizing his own son's home, you should assume a father would never kill a son. But if the son is burglarizing the father's home, you should assume the son probably would be prepared to kill his own father if he's going to resist his geneva. Unless you know that the son really loves the father and he would never do such a thing. So the Gemara assumes, psychologically, that the love that the parents have for the children is much greater than the love that the children have for the parents. The father, they're crazy fathers, not crazy sons. They're always exceptions to the rule. But derech klal, the parents would never think of killing their children, even though they're interested in burglarizing. So that's what the Gemara interprets the pasuk. Im zoch Hashem shalav, if it's clear as daylight that the ganef is not gonna, is not prepared to kill the nignav, the hainu, that it's a ab habu al adein, the father's burglarizing the son's home, then damim lo, then the father is considered a chai, and he's not a garaktila, and no one has a right to kill him. So the Rambam writes, like Rashi, that this pasuk is not to be taken literally, it's just a mashal. And the Ravid writes in the Hasogas on the Rambam, what the Rambam wrote is correct, that's a Gemara, but I think that ein amikru yotze midei pshutoi. And you have this, it's interesting. Boba Machteres. Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. The Rambam says it doesn't make a difference. Boba Machteres, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. This is a Perikes. In Hilchas Geneve, Halacha Zayin. Boba Machteres, Bein Bayom, Bein Balayla. You have a right to kill him. Unless it's clear as the daylights, broad daylights, that he's not interested in killing. So why does it say Balayla Bayom? Lama Nema Machteres Fishaderech Rabba Ganav Lava Machteres Balayla. But it's not to be taken literally. So then the Ravid writes, he doesn't think it's correct. Eini Moneya, I will not restrain myself, Milichtov is Daiti. I feel compelled to express my opinion. Shenirali. In my opinion, Sha'afal Pishadosha Chachamim Bezor Hashem Shalav Derech Moshal. Correct. The Rambam is right. I don't disagree. Rashi Achomish quotes from the Tanaim. But I think Afal Pichein, the Ravid writes, I think Ena Mikri Yetzim Midei Pshuto. The Bayom Ena Mashay Lahargo. He says you have to take the Pshuto Shami. There's an interesting Ravid. In the end of Hilchas Malachin, the Rambam has a few chapters regarding the Bias HaMashiach. So the Rambam writes that the psukim that say the Gor Zevim Keves V'Nomrim G'di Yirbots in Yeshaya are not to be taken literally, that the animals are going to mate with Shaloi B'mina. Al Yala, the last chapter in Perek Yud Beis in Hilchos Malachim, the very last chapter, he starts off Al Yala Lalev, don't have a havamina. Should be most Hamashiach Yivatol Dovam Imin Hoga Shalolam, that the world will change. Al Yosham Chidush B'Maisa Bereshis, there'll be some change in nature. Ela Olam Ki Min Hoga Noheg, everything will stay the same. Ay V'Zeshen Emma B'Yishai V'Gor Zevim Kevus V'Nomim G'di Yirbat Mashal V'Chido. What it means to say is that the Jewish people will live in peace with the Rishi Yom Masalim Ho compared to a Zev. For a Zev in Kevis. The Kevis is the Klal Yisrael, the timid Jewish people. And the Zev is the wolf. The Rishi Yom Masalim HaMashulim Kizei V'Nomer. So we'll all live together in peace and harmony. So the Rambam says the whole thing is a Mashal V'Chido. It's a Mashal. So the Ravid writes, Omer Avram. And then the Rambam writes, V'chein kol kayotze be'elo hadvar binyan HaMashiach Hei Mishalim. All the psukim in Tanakh that speak about Shino HaTevel and Mos HaMashiach, it's all a Moshe. Everything is a Moshe V'chido. So the Ravid writes, Omar Avraham, he disagrees with the Rambam. But Halok Batayra, it says the Pasuk in Chumash, Hishbati Chayiram in Haaretz. So what's the Ravid's Kasha? The Rabbi thinks that there will be a Shinu HaTeva. It says Beferish in the Chumash, Rishbati Chayiro, Minhar, there won't be any tigers anymore. There won't be any wild animals that they devour people anymore. So what's the Rabbit's kasha? No one understands. What's the Rabbit's kasha? The Rambam said, "Chay koka yotzebeila advar bingin amshich hay mishalim." Any pasuk in Tanakh that gives you the impression that nature is going to change, the most amshich is to be understood as a mashal. So what does the Rabbit write? How about Torah? It says in the pasuk in Chumash, "Mishpati chay raminor." So Rabbi Reuven Margolius has a very interesting. Reuven Margolius was a librarian. I think he was a moichas farm and a librarian. So he has all of his svarim are very fascinating. He always picked up all the chikava, the believe it or not, the most fascinating midrashim and the most fascinating things. Like he has a sefer on Sanhedrin, Margolius Ayan. So if there's a ktsois or a beis alevi or a shagasayin, he won't refer you to that. When there's something razzle dazzle, you know, in some obscure sefer that no one ever heard of, that's he always gives the marmakamas to the funny things. He doesn't give the yeshivish and meat and potatoes that doesn't. He's the librarian. So that's what. But he has very interesting, all of his essays are chikava essays. They're all very fascinating things. And sometimes they're very important. He has a long essay on this Ravid, and he quotes sources in Mechilta and in Yerushalmi and Ksubis. That it says the force has simlo lieni has kenim. So there's a machlokes hatanoim in the Bavli and in Yerushalmi. So half of the tanoim say it's a mashal. First has simlo just means dvarim mechuvarim kisimlo. The second pair of edim come in mazim, the first pair of edim, and that's how you have a moiti shemra. Hevi ha'avedim she hevi abal edim she zins. The hevi abedim he zinim lieni abal. It's a mashal. And the next tana says no. How can you say on a pasuk in Chumash? In the Vim, Aksuvim, they say you can say Moshel Vechida. A Pasuk in Chumash, you can't say Moshel Vechida. A Pasuk in Chumash has to be taken Kipshuta. So the second Tana disagrees and he says, no, of course, Asimla Dvarim Kipshutam. They have the sheet that has the Dam on it. So the Ravid, apparently, this Machlekes, the Ramam and the Ravid, is apparently just a repeat from the Machlekes Hatanaim. The Ravid's Hasoga was, Balo Batorah, his kasha was Nevi'im Iksuvim, I'll go along with you. You can interpret Psukim and Nevi'im Iksuvim as a Melitza, as a Moshel Lechida. But Bahalo Batorah, in the Chumash it says Vishbati Chayiro Min Horet. So that's where Abruvim Margolius thinks that this Ravid in Hilchas Geneva, and the last perik in Hilchas Geneva, where the Rambam writes that it doesn't make a difference. The last perik test in Hilchas Geneva, he talks about Bola Machteris. So the Rambam says absolutely it doesn't make a difference whether it's day or night, and what it says in the Chumash is a mashal. Daytime means clear as the daytime, that it's not bar liskin nefashis. And nighttime means if it's not clear, if it's not so clear, then you assume that the Baba Machteris is the right if. So the Ravid is bothered with that, even though that's a drashas chachamim. He thinks that since it's a pasuk in Chumash, you see, Eina Mikri Yotim Adei Pshuta was one thing. You have an additional level of interpretation. Like, Loi Seitzik Tzei Savon. We know that what Rashi quote, that's not the Pshuta Shal Mikra. She doesn't have a Yitzia Vishen Diyan like an Eved Knaini. That's not the Pshuta Shal Mikra. That's Loi Seitzik A Yitzia. That's like a rabbinic terminology. That can't be the Pshuta Shal Mikra. That's obviously an additional level of interpretation. That's what the tour tries to work out what's the pshuta, and that's the Gemara says enemy cares from the pshuta. Pshuta is binding. The pshuta is la'alocha. Over here, the Rambam says this is the pshuto. We take this pasuk as a moshel. The boba machteres balayla is supposed to boba machteres bayom is a moshel. Balayla means if it's dark as night, we're not sure whether he intends to kill, but he's prepared to kill the balabas. And by daytime means that it's clear as the broad daylight that he's not interested in killing. So the Rambam says this is not a violation of enemy cares from the pshuto. Psukim and Tanakh are written in a Lashon Mashal, Vechida, like he wrote over there. And the Ravid holds in Nevi'im Iksuvim, you can say that. The Ravid holds like those Tanoim. In Nevi'im Iksuvim, you have a right, they say like that. Somehow, the Chumash is different. The Chumash is that this was intended as the Sefer Abris, so it's something very different. Something very different from the Nevi'im Iksuvim. Nevi'im Iksuvim are poetry. The Chumash is more down to earth. So even if you have a Pasuk that's clearly a Mashal, we understand it as a mashal, but it has to be taken literally as well. It's an interesting idea, but he documents. Rabbi Mother, he shows that it says the Ferish, a machloikis tanoim, And he quotes a mechilta with a Yerushalmi, with a the Braisa Medrash Lamed Beis Midas or Abelezer Rabbi Yosef Aglini. It's fairish like that, a chilek between Chumash as opposed to Nevi'im Ksuv. In the Parshas Mishpatim, much of Mishpatim has about the Nizikin, has about Dini Mominus, has the Chiyuvim B'dinei Odom, that the Bezon Shalmata is Machai people. But then you have a remez in the Psukim that sometimes is a Chiyuv Momin, but Balotze Sidei Shamayim. You have the Pasuk of the Nevel Odois, Ki Notza Anashim Not Pishohav Yotze Yoladeha, so the one who is responsible for causing the loss of the pregnancy has to pay the Dmei Velodis to the father of the baby. The Nosam Bechlilim. The Masan Yir, what if the woman gets killed, then come live with the Rabminei, and you don't have to pay the Dmei Velodis. So the Pasuk says previously that you pay the Dmei Velodis, the Nosam Bechlilim, Al Pi HaDayonim, Rashi says. Al Pi Meimar Dayonayim. The Yitin Min Meimar Dayonayim. Bechlilim means when there's no kam lebi derabinei, that the bezon shalmata forces you to pay. But if it's nasan yir, if the woman gets killed, it's kam lebi derabinei, so the mashmoy says the bezon shalmata will not force you to pay, but the bezon shalmaila is still chayif to pay. That's the famous panim yofis by the haflor. Panim yofis writes on this pasuk that that's the mashmoy of the pasuk, and this mashmoy supports what Rashi and Taisus write in Ezel Nesher. Rashi and Taisus write there, there's a gemara. Things after Zeneshah, that tzaddik and Bob Mitzia, where Rashi and Taisus interpret the Gemara as saying, "Estanasa Torah filu bo'alima," that despite the fact that you have an instance of kam lebi derabminei, but the balotzis sedei shemaim, you have to pay the money. So the panim yofis, they quote this from the Brisker Rav, he made the deal, but the panim yofis was a few centuries before the Brisker Rav. So he made the same deal. Menasim b'flilim, if there's no kam lebi derabminei, the bezin shalmata makes you pay. If masin yia, then it's only the bezin shalmaila. We have sometimes the Gemara has that the Grama ben Ezekin Patim and the Yonah Bechai B'din HaShemai, the Gemara in the first daf in Perek HaKoinis, or the Gemara has in Ezel Neshech the first daf towards the beginning of Ezel Neshech, we accept La Lacha the following, that a Ribis Kitzutso is Yotze B'dayon Ribis Deraisa, if the fellow wants his money back, the Bezlam will force you to give it back. If it's Abak Ribis Ribis Shein Kitzutso, the Bol Lotze Sidei Shemai, you have to give it back. But the Dini Yodim in Achai, the Bezun Shalmatim won't force you to give it back, but the Balak, the Sidei Shemayim, should give it back. There are other cases. You have, for example, there is a Tosefta. There's a three-way stira in a Tosefta. There are three Toseftas. Each one contradicts the other regarding malpractice cases of doctors. Are they held responsible to pay or not? So one Tosefta says Chayiv, one Tosefta says Pater. And the third Tosefta says, Patim and Dinyan v'chai b'din HaShemayim. The first two Toseftas are in Bava Kama, in different prokim, Baruch Hashem, in different prokim. The one perikin says Chai, one perikin says Pater, and then a Tosefta in Gittin says, Patim and Dinyan v'chai b'din HaShemayim. So how can it be three different Toseftas? So there's an Asameach, and the Rambam has a beautiful explanation. He says, the first Tosefta that says that the doctor who harmed the patient is chayv to pay, he's not mamish b'shege gomer, he meant with toivasa, that goes on nezik, there's nezik tzari b'sheves and boishes. So the din is that odem ud li'olam, that tosefta is in perik beis in Bava Kama, corresponding to the Mishnah, the end of perik beis, odem ud li'olam b'im shege b'im meze b'im yonis b'im rotza, only goes on nezik. The later tosefta is in achayvel, that goes on tzari b'sheves boishes, so that the doctor is potter from paying, period. He's absolutely potter. Because the Gemara says that the Achayva Bachadera pays the additional Abod Varm, Sarvich B'Shevis Baishis, only if there's some kind of a Pshia. But if Mamish, no Pshia at all. The guy's a doctor. What did he was meant for Taivasa? So he doesn't pay at all the Alad Alad Varm. The Tosefta in Gittin that says the doctor is Potter in the Yonim Chaim Din HaShemayim, that's in the middle of Gittin. Corresponding to the Mishnayis in the middle of Gittin. You have a series of Mishnayis. It's a two prokim, I think, which have a list of takonis derabbanan that were instituted in Mipnei Tikkun Olam. You have Prusbul there, you have all kinds of takonis derabbanan. So one of the takonis that appears in the Tosefta always elaborates on the Mishnayos, gives you more cases of takonis Mipnei Tikkun Olam. So one of the takonis that's listed in the Tosefta, two of the takonis that are listed are the following. If you have a crackerjack expert doctor who's afraid to remain in medicine because malpractice insurance is just so high that it eats up all of your salary. So a lot of doctors are running away, and they go into medical supply. They go into other fields. They don't want to be doctors anymore. They can't afford the insurance. So Bizman HaTanoim, they had a takana that was based on Hefke Bez Nefka, based on Dina Machus Adina, that if the government authorized this doctor to practice medicine, they only authorized the top-notch mumchim to encourage them to stay in the field, because the best people are going to run away. They're morons who don't know how to do surgery well. They're so stupid that any of this, any of this. So they're going to, the fools rush in where the angels fear the trick. So the foolish doctors who are not so good, they're going to remain in medicine. And the real mumchim who know how to do the job better, they're going to run away. So in order to encourage the real good doctors to stay in the field, so they used to have a practice that either the Beis Din would give them a certificate, or the government would give them a certificate, and that certificate meant, with the power of Hefke Bez and Hefke, with the power of Dina Machus Adina, we pater you. In case you'll be choyvel and a patient, by mistake, you don't have to pay. And the same thing Dayonim. There is a whole sugi in the Gemara that's called Shikol Adas. If there was a Din Torah, and the dying paskin wrong, and he awarded the money to one person, then the guy disappears, he travels to South Africa, and you can't get him, and then the dying realizes that he paskin wrong. So he was mapsed the guy $1 million. So he has to pay. So the Gemara says that the expert Dayanim used to run away. They decided to be rabbis and yeshivas. Well, we have to make Dinei Torah, and we'll be held responsible if we paskin wrong teaching a yeshiva, and if I ruin any students, they'll never sue me. How can they prove that I'm the one who... A lot of rabbis ruin students, but how can you prove that I'm the rabbi who's responsible? The Dayan and the Din Torah, the doctor, he killed the patient. He paskin wrong, but the rabbi in yeshiva, you can't pinpoint who's at fault. So the rabbis were concerned that the expert Dayanim, who really know how to paskin Din Torah properly, will run away from the responsibility. So they picked the top 5% or the top 10% of the Dayan, whatever it was, and they decided to give them approval. They gave them kosher, so Dayanut, whatever it means. If he's a mumche, lebezdin, so it means imtol lo yisham. If he makes a mistake, he doesn't have to pay. So the Tosefta says, since Mikar Adin Deraisa, they are mukhiv to pay. The doctor is mukhiv to pay nezek mitam chevo bahavero. Sarit b'shev is boshes no. But nezek is mukhiv Mikar Adin. And the dain shetor is mukhiv to pay Mikar Adin midina de garmi, the Gemara says. Because he's really responsible for the hepsit, because of his mistake in psak. Even though the government made a takana, even though the Bezda made a takana mifnei tikkun olam to encourage the expert doctors and the expert dayanim to stay in the field, so they made a takana that if tov lo yishalmu, if they harmed the patient or if they gave the wrong psak, they don't have to pay. But that's only the balat sidei shamayim, he should pay if he has the money. Let's say the doctor harmed the patient, and he's not going to go broke if he'll pay the patient. If he has to pay malpractice insurance, then it'll turn out he's not making a living. But if he has to pay once in a while a patient, he won't go broke, he'll still be a wealthy man. So then the Braisa says in the Tosefta and Gittin that it's part of the Dinyan of Chai B'dinyan Shemayim. Whenever he can afford it, the proper thing is that he should pay. So the Pashta says that we have such a parallel case, Bizman Hazeh. The government in America and many other countries made a takana that's called bankruptcy. Sometimes a guy got into business and he got so deep, he's so over his head in business, he can't get out of it. And for the rest of his life, any penny that he's going to earn is going to have to go to pay all of the people that he owes money to. So he's ruined for the rest of, he's not going to have any incentive to work hard, because the money that he gets doesn't go to him, it goes to the people that he owes the money to. So they made a takana that should allow people to reorganize their lives, that he can declare bankruptcy and he doesn't have to pay anything. That's a takana if they think an oil. And although usually we say in Chash Mishpat that whatever the government laws are, Dinan Machlusa doesn't apply whenever both parties involved are Jewish, but that's only the chukim that the Memshala has. We have a Chash Mishpat, they have their set of books. So we follow what it says in Shulchan Aruch, Chash Mishpat. But if the government makes a takanim of Neitikin Oilam, they have laws of minimum wages, or price control, or rent control, or something like that, or bankruptcy laws. So these are takanis of Neitikin Oilam. So this is binding even if the landlord and the tenant are both Jewish, even if the employer and the employee are both Jewish. This is a takana of Neitikin Oilam, is binding on everybody. And even though the Beis Din didn't make the takana, the Beis Din should have made the takana. If the government makes a takana of Neitikin Oilam, if that's what they made a takana, it's not that these are the laws of the land, they made a takana like that. So these takanas are binding on everybody. So let's say one Jew declares bankruptcy and he doesn't pay the money, the millions of dollars that he owes to the other Jews. But the halacha says he doesn't have to pay. But if later on in life he's successful in his new business and he has money to pay, then the balot says that Deshmaim Kafin should pay. Just like it says in the Tosefta regarding the malpractice suit against the doctor, or the malpractice suit against the rabbi who passed him wrong, that is part of Medin Yoram Mechabedin Hashemayim. So the Pashtus is that's a category of cases. Whenever Mi'ikir Adin Yechayiv, but they made a takarim of Tikkun Olam to pata you, in order to give you the ability to breathe, that you should be able to survive. So if later on you're making out well, and you're doing well later, so the Bolas is Deshmaim, Shitaka Pei. So every so often people have these shilas, religious people who declare bankruptcy have the shilas later, should they try to pay up the money that they earned? So the Pashtus says that they certainly should. They certainly should try to make up. Okay.